Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. You're listening to Cross the Border. Today, we're going to continue our trek through the Bible, and we're starting on a new book today. I'm going back to the Old Testament, about 3,000 years ago. As far as I can tell, the dating of the man we're reading about. Yes, the book of Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Now, the land of Uz, of course, the land of Uz is not the land of Oz. That's a different book. anyway, Uz was a son of Aram, who was a son of Lud, who was the son of Arphaxad, who was the son of Ashur, who was the son of Elam, who was the son of Shem, who was the son of Noah. Now, I don't know if Job was exactly the name, exactly a son of Uz, but he lived in the land of Uz, it says, and that would mean that he was of the tribe of Uz. His name was Job. And the scripture says, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Yeah, I'd like to be able to say that that would describe me. Now, perfect and upright. Is anybody really reach perfection? Is anyone expected to be absolutely perfect, say, as the Messiah was perfect? No. You know, we all have sinned, even Job, the perfect man. I believe a better way to look at this, to be perfect in Messiah, would be to be perfected, to be in the process of being perfected. One who doesn't turn back from that process of being perfected. One who has no reservation to sin. Yes, we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. And if we want to be exacting in our speak, no, there's none that is perfect. So when the scripture says that he was perfect, it means that he was walking as perfectly as a man could after the Almighty. So he was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So we get a description of what this means to be perfect and upright here. He was one that feared God. He feared the Almighty. And I have to admit, I have to say that there was a time that I didn't fear God in my life. And for all those people who are into the name here, the Elohim, being interpreted God in English. He feared God. He feared the Almighty. And he eschewed evil. Do you eschew evil? I do. I hate it. I don't want to do it. I don't like it around me. And it grieves me that I have any evil in me or in my life. It grieves me that I'm even tempted to sin, let alone that I will stumble. I may fall. I may slip and sin in my mortal life. And I have to agree with the Apostle Paul that it is no longer I who sin, but sin that dwelleth in me. See, because Paul, I believe, was like Job. He was one that feared God and eschewed evil. So you've put away all the filthiness, all the lusts of the flesh. You put away the fornication and the adultery. You put away all of the habits and the drugs and the cigarettes and the over-drinking and, you know, whatever. All of the things that would control your life. You have eschewed evil because you fear the Almighty. And the fear of God keeps me on the straight and narrow. You know, when I see people out there struggling or lost in sin, and I think, because I fear God, I think, there but for the grace of God go I. That could be me. I can't let it slip. I can't purposely. I can't have a reservation to sin. I can't say, oh, just today. I'm going to enjoy this sin because I fear God. That could be me. I don't want to be lost. I fear God and I eschew evil, like Job. Now, Job was a son of Shem. He was a true Shemite. You know, the form of the word has changed today. They say Semite, but what it means to be anti-Semitic today has absolutely nothing to do with being a true Shemite from the root of where that word came from. Job was a true Shemite. It says, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and very great household, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Well, if I had, even today, if I had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, or let's say horses, because I'm in the northern continent of the Americas, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, I would be a very wealthy man, even today by today's standards. So he was a very wealthy man. And you know what? I noticed it says to him that there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. We don't get any inclination here as to whether his daughters or his sons feared God and eschewed evil as he did. I would hope that they did, or at least some of them did. So he was a very rich man. He was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feastings were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. You know, I love my children too, my grandchildren. And there's no guarantee that they're going to follow me, that they're going to make the resurrection of life. I hope and I pray for them, but I can't run their lives. I can't lord it over them, because after all, notwithstanding, they are my sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters. They are also my fellow man. And hopefully my brothers and sisters in Messiah. But I can't live for them. I can pray for them. And hope. I hope. I'll do the best I can. I can do my part. And that's what Job is doing here. He's not lording it over his children, trying to control them. Because he knows that they belong to the Almighty. He had a job to do. We all have a job to do as parents and grandparents. Let us do it with our might, as we're commanded to do as parents, to nurture them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, as the Authorized King James Version says. But he says, perhaps they've cursed God in their hearts. Perhaps they have sinned. So he rises up, he offers burnt offerings for them according to the number of them all. So you see that Job here is following the sacrificial law as it was handed down from Adam and Eve even. This is before, I believe, the children of Israel and Moses, or Abraham, and I believe it's before that time, or it's about that time, just leading up to that time, but they had the law before that. Even Noah, he knew the difference. There was a distinction between the clean and the unclean animals. Go back to Cain and Abel. They made the sacrifice, of course. Well, Abel did, and whoever else wanted to please the Almighty made the right sacrifice. Cain decided that the Almighty, that that Yahuwah would have to accept the fruit of his hands rather than the sacrifice that was required. But Job, we see here, he does the required sacrifice even for his children. And maybe there's a clue there. Maybe his children should have been making their own sacrifice. I don't know. We'll continue. There are questions there that rise up. They went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day. Not sure I understand what that means, everyone his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. So it looks like they were having a big party if they called for the three sisters to come and eat and drink with them. And it's not wrong to feast and enjoy life once in a while and get together with your family. As a matter of fact, that would be a good thing. Better than going out to the bar and eating and drinking and feasting with strangers. Yes, what a drear and dire situation that is for people that participate in that type of party. So when their days of feasting were gone about, Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning. He sent and sanctified them. So he sent for them, perhaps, sanctified them, set them apart, and he offered burnt offerings for them. Because he said, perhaps it may be that my sons have sinned, curse God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So this was a practice of this man, to pray, make sacrifices for his children. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahuwah. And we have the name there, so I said it that time. In the Authorized King James Version, it says, before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. Now, I want you to notice here, there is a doctrine, and, you know, we have to pay attention to little things like this as we go through the scripture. And I spent a half hour with my good friend Tom last week, and we were attacking the Nephilim doctrine. Okay, now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, before Yahuwah. Now, we see that demonstrated throughout the scripture. The sacrifice, the first sacrifice, was given there, and by the great high priest who made that sacrifice and clothed Adam and Eve with the skins, right? Animal was sacrificed, or several animals were sacrificed as a temporary covering. And then we see in the story of Cain and Abel that Cain and Abel did this. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, before Yahuwah. And so Cain and Abel did that. Okay? And we know Abel brought the proper sacrifice and Cain brought the wrong sacrifice. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So we have a demonstration there in the scripture. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Now, these sons of God are the children of men. And this verse here tells us that. Because it says, and Satan came also. Oh, by the way, Satan came. See, there's a difference there. There's a differentiation there. We have a separation between the sons of God who came to present themselves before Yahuwah, and Satan came also among them. See, Satan is not them. Satan came among them. Satan is not one of them, but he came among them. And why did Satan come among them? Well, I'll tell you. The story of Cain and Abel tells us how Satan came among them. Defiant, disobedient. They were listening to the enemy, just as Eve had done in the beginning. She listened to the enemy. Of course, it appears to me from the book of Genesis that Adam and Eve both repented. That's the testimony of the word. That's the way I read it. That isn't explicit in the text, but the evidence is strong enough that I can rely on that. So I don't believe that the sons of God are the same thing as the children of men who are called. I mean, I don't believe that Satan is the same, that the children of men are called the sons of God, and Satan is called the son of God, or the fallen angels are called the sons of God. I believe that there is a differentiation here. So if I read it, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, before Yahuwah, the Almighty. And that day was that day they were required to come and bring a sacrifice. Later codified by Moses in the wilderness, when the law was given to the set apart nation, that called out nation, Israel, the 12 tribes. So later it was codified, not much later, but from where we're at with Job. And we see that happen with Cain and Abel. There was a day, there was an appointed time, basically. And it says, and Satan came also among them. So he's not one of them, but he came among them. I guess you could take it both ways, but I see demonstrated by Scripture. Because what I want to do is I want to use the Scripture to interpret the Scripture as best as I can. Now, people may agree with me. They said Satan came among them because he was one of them. Well, no, really. Was Satan required to bring a sacrifice? You know, see, that doesn't fit in the demonstration. But I see how Satan came among them because Satan came with Cain. Cain was listening to the enemy. Cain rebelled. He said, not your way, Lord, but my way. You know, and what did the Messiah say? He said, not my will, but thine be done. Cain said the opposite. He was rebellious. He was under the influence. Satan came with him. So we got a spiritual thing happening here too, because there's something happening on the spiritual plane, because that's where Satan is as the fallen angel. He is in that spiritual plane. And he is also in heaven. Was he cast down yet? No, I believe he was cast down when the Messiah triumphed over him on the cross. I believe that's when he was cast down. I believe that's when he said that he had little time. So he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I believe he lost his position in heaven at that time. That's my belief. And I probably need to work on that, you know, solidifying that position a little bit more. But I feel that's correct. But I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord, on that one. But that's my belief anyway, that Satan was cast down from heaven at that time when the Messiah gained the victory over death. When he proved by going into the grave and that death could not hold him because death had no claim on him, he took the keys of hell and death from the enemy and he set the captives free. I believe that's when Satan was cast down from heaven. And you can read about that, I believe, in the Revelation and several other instances in the Scripture to put it in a place in our timeline. So anyway, back to our narrative here with Job. The day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahuwah, the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And Yahuwah said unto Satan, whence comest thou? You know? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Yes, he goes to and fro on the earth. But I believe that he's on the earth now, and that he's trapped on the earth with him, with his angels. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord. Now here we have the What is he called? He's called the accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren. Now, when the Messiah's blood was applied to our account, after that, he can't accuse us anymore because we have the application of that blood on us that are righteous, that fear God and eschew evil today. We have the application of the blood of Messiah. But that doesn't mean that we're not tested as Job was. Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" Now, there's something going on in the spiritual realm here. You know, we get this conversation in English. I'm not sure how that they were speaking English. I doubt that. It's kind of hard to articulate what I'm saying right now, and perhaps we'll attack it a little bit better when we get back from the break, because I'm trying to apply this in a way that we can, in a way that it applies to our lives today and the trials and tribulations that we go through. I'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border.